Thank you for the new folks that you brought in our drive-in services and for the salvations in the month of June. The many young boys playing basketball and hearing, and that the Spirit would give them great comfort and teach them and lead them and keep them and do your deep work in each heart. For our country, Lord, we pray. For the churches, Lord, be salt and light for every believer in this room and those that are listening online, that it doesn't seem like you're working, even though I don't see that you're working, but you work your great work. And open our hearts tonight. Keep us from evil. Anoint us with joy, life, love, faith. Bless Grace Hour, radio, internet, program all week. Pour a special spirit of discernment and love in our hearts, Lord, with great love that covers a multitude of sins. Great love amongst us, great forgiveness, and great work deep in our hearts, in Jesus' name. For our families, Lord, some family members represented here tonight, maybe they are alone, maybe afraid, maybe they don't understand us in our Christian faith. Maybe they're afraid of you. Maybe they're hiding. Maybe they're deeply troubled. Maybe very guilty. We pray, would you just do something this summer, the month of July, and bless our convention in August in ways beyond we could ever explain, because we walk by faith in you, Jesus. You, Jesus, and all the glory goes to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow. This morning, I actually would like to repeat the message this morning, but it was just a relevant message from Romans 11, 5, Romans chapter 5, and we're going to go on part 2, but I need you to pay attention and really focus in. There's a key principle that we said this morning: events, people that are filled with events, and even lower, I'll put here, gossip. Events, it's not the same as gossip, but, and then there's, people, just people, they just talk about people and events and all this. And this is how people live. They live with the events in their hearts, in their minds, in their, they watch the news. The news is all the events. What happened in Minneapolis, or Farmer John's goat got across Route 83 the other night. And events. And it can leave us perplexed, troubled. And just now we have the COVID-19 pandemic. We also have the restlessness in our country, statues pulled down, and some cases of violence, and then the politics, and what's going on? But you are, because you have God, so we'll put here God, you are a student a disciple. You are being taught. You are listening. Your ear is in tune, not to the loud voice of Goliath, but you are in tune to the still small voice of the Spirit. What does the Spirit say to you? The second thing that you are a student of is human nature, and you learn about people from the Bible. You know what is in people. John 2:24, Christ did not commit himself to people because he knew what was in them. They can have good day, bad day. They can be your friend, they can be your enemy. They can applaud you, and they can throw you away. People are, many ways, awesome, their greatest thing going, but they're also potentially very dangerous. And we learn about that in our Bible. That man is a sinner, and he needs salvation. He needs God. So if you or myself, we are just people that are looking at Goliath and listening to him with his loud mouth, defying God and defying the people of God, then the army didn't have leadership, and the army is afraid in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Events can make you upset. Events can trouble you and I. Of course, we know this. When they went to the tomb in Luke 24, verse 4, the stone was rolled away, and it says they were perplexed. And the Greek word means they didn't know where to go. They were like troubled. They were confused. They didn't know what to do. And the same happened to King Herod after he killed John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes. He thought maybe Jesus was John the Baptist come back to life. And it says that Herod was perplexed, troubled. Believers can be, we all can be, troubled because of what happens. But we have found, and we are learning what it means to live by faith and how much God is able to give to us the peace and the wisdom and lead us like David before Goliath. Like you could say, Goliath is a monster. He's 9 feet tall. And David could say, yeah, I do not deny it, but I have an education. This one here, I have an education. But you're not living in the real world, don't you know? And he could answer and say, I know he's a giant. I can see that. But that's not the end of the story. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. So turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified. This morning we had these words, and the first one was justified. It's a great word. 100% righteous. 100% without sin. It's as if you have never, in the mind of God, because he has forgiven, he has forgotten, he has justified you. So it's as if you have never, not even once, sinned. Never. In the mind of God. That's amazing. That's incredible. Because I have a lot sinned. But you are justified. Romans 3:24-25. by the blood. What's my job? Believe. I believe one moment in time, I believe, and I am justified, declared righteous. This is the starting point, because it means you're now in the family. You're accepted in the beloved. To be accepted in the beloved is very profound. I'm not thrown out on the street the way I feel. I feel I'm thrown out on the street, and I don't have a family. I don't have a Heavenly Father. He's not happy with me. I'm not what I should be. I'm out here. And God wants us to know this. You are in the family. You are justified. God is your Father. He sealed you with the Spirit. You are not your sin. This is subjective. Subjectively, we say, I'm not what I should be. I don't pray enough. I'm not what I should be. I don't read the Bibles. I'm not like him or I'm not like her. It's all subjective, but that's not what this is saying. This is not about your subjective self and what you're thinking and feeling. This is objective reality. This is the way it is. This is what God is saying. I have accepted you. You are justified and made righteous. Your name is in the book of life. I am for you, not against you. I am your Father. I am God. I'm not like other gods. I am God, and I want you to know me, who I am. I am God. This is huge. This is not men. This is God. Wow. God, can you make a sinful man a righteous man? Yes, I can. How do you do it? I gave my son. I could never have given anything more precious. I gave my son. And I gave you something that you cannot even think or imagine what it is. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is ours. This is amazing. Okay. Point number one of this. And I mean, I could repeat that point over and over. I know you know it intellectually. I would love for it to resonate in your heart for you to realize what this means. This is amazing. I am righteous. I have to tell myself. I have to relate to this truth. I want to receive it. I want to embrace it. I want to believe it. I want to live on the basis of it. It's a whole new thing. It's a game changer that God gave his son so that we would be made, declared righteous by God, our Father. Then the next part is, this is all building up to what I want to say. And this is Romans 5, verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace. This is objective. I put here the word objective. It means, doesn't matter what you think or feel. You have peace with God. I'm an enemy to myself. I'm an enemy to my friend. I'm an enemy to my boss. I don't have peace with my wife. I don't have peace with my children. And this can all be the case with people. But it doesn't change the fact that in God's mind, he has peace with you. You were an enemy. Now he is your friend. Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm a friend to God. Yeah, that's exactly the point. You don't feel like you have peace. You don't feel so great. But that's not our point. Our point is that God has peace with you. He has reconciled you to himself. God, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It's objective. It's the reality. There's no condemnation in him. There's nothing where you would be rejected by him. There's nothing would say where it would be like permanently, it's over. God's relationship with me is over. Like permanently, it's ended, it's over, it's done, it's finished. Can't happen. So what is the status? That I've been made righteous and I have peace with God. That's all. I think this is why David could go out against Goliath, because he had roots in these doctrines. He had an understanding of his identity. He knew that God was for him, and he had peace with God. You see, in other cases, when people live by events, they're hoping that their life will be without trouble. Because if they can skate through the trouble and make it safely through life, that's their goal. But this changes that. We don't think about skating through life, avoiding trouble, because we have found a relationship where God is saying, you got all that you need because I am for you. And I want to lead you and teach you. Listen, follow the words with me. There are five of them. What comes next after peace? Verse 2. By whom also we have access. We are introduced, brought before God, having access. In the ancient world, you just couldn't, and today, you can't go to Queen Elizabeth in the UK and just have an appointment with her. You cannot do it. You have to know somebody. You have to be accepted. You have to be introduced. You have to be brought before the Queen. It has to be, you cannot go just before God. I mean, all human beings should be encouraged to pray to God and believe in God. And walk before God. All people everywhere are God is pleading with them. But he is not a man. He is God. And to have access to God, that's our privilege now. We are introduced to God through Jesus Christ. And we have a status with him as God. You know, somebody said, I forget who it was, Spurgeon maybe, or that our theology is filled with personal pronouns, me, possessive pronouns, mine, this is ours. My God, this isn't just God, this is our Father, this is God, and he is ours. This was not possible without Christ. Christ gave us access to God, and he gave us a connection with God, and he sent the Holy Spirit into the world so that we could be in worship with the living God and be subject to him in faith. Look at the next word there in that list. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And please learn the word grace. Grace, wow. Huge word. Grace to get a gift. I read about an oyster. How many pearls are in an oyster? Anybody know? There can be more than one pearl in one oyster. And sometimes there are what's called black pearls. There's a white pearl and there are black pearls. And the world record, there was an oyster with 660 pearls in the oyster. Isn't that cool? Grace. What's grace? It's gift. What have you received all your life? Gifts. Great gifts everywhere. Gifts from God every day. The earth is filled with His goodness. How many gifts have you received in your life? You're packed full. There are gifts everywhere. How did you? You didn't earn them. One time we preached here a couple of years ago. A man from Afghanistan was here. I went out to lunch with him, and I said, "What did you get out of the message?" He said, "I heard about grace." And I said, "What does that mean to you?" And he gave a great answer. He's a Muslim. He's from Afghanistan. But he gave a great answer. And he's open to God. He said, "It's like your eyes. You don't pay for them. They're a gift." I go, "Wow, that's cool. Wow. Thank you, Lord." Gifts. What's it mean? All this from God, and so now we stand. And the word for that is standing steadfastly, immovable, standing. That's what's needed in this world. Christ, have you noticed the devil with a loud mouth on television lately? Have you noticed the devil with a loud mouth on social media? Have you noticed how a friend that you thought was a friend may not be your friend anymore? Have you noticed how human nature can change and go from the pedestal to the pit in one day? Have you noticed that? You should. And I thank God for the last 4 months or so, because I feel that it's a good wake-up call for human beings to be awake. Because this world is not a joke. It's real. There's real battle. There's a real battle for the souls of men. There are real lies that are being said by Goliath. Every day he's out in front of the army of Israel mocking. And it said when he saw little David, he disdained him. It means he despised him. He hated him. I feel like that sometimes. I feel sometimes that the world doesn't like me. Maybe. They don't appreciate our faith. They don't appreciate what we have going on. There's something spiritual about the world that maybe some people have never realized. But I want to get to my message. I haven't gotten there yet. I got to get you built up in what these verses are saying, because when we go to the next part, it's fantastic to see what it's saying here. It's amazing. But check it out. Chapter 5 in verse 2, it says, "Wherein we stand," and David stood. He ran at Goliath. He stood, but it meant he's not backing down. I'm not backing down. How about you? It's too good. God's too good. I can feel God. I can feel God in my life. I can feel God in our hearts. I feel God in our mission. I feel God in seeing. I saw some, we knocked on doors. The lady came this morning and to the hamburgers yesterday. And I was so glad that I don't always get to see when I knock on a door that the person actually comes to the church. But she did. I like to see a salvation. And I saw recently. That's amazing. If you've never led anybody to Christ, pray for that. Many Christians have never led anybody to Christ. Pray for that. It's an amazing experience. when somebody comes to Christ, and they lead them to Christ, and they have a prayer with them, and they meet them again, and the person says, wow, I don't know, this is exciting. This is new to me. This is amazing. I don't understand it, but there's something going on. I'm free. I have joy. I don't know what's going on. Jesus is real to me. This is beautiful. What's the last word here? It says stand, and then it says rejoice in hope. And this is where we want to go. Look at verse 2 again. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Like we have been doing today here, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. The hope is a living hope. I hope I'm going to see my brothers and sisters in heaven. I know. I think about it more and more. I hope I have that hope. I know it's going to happen. I believe that's going to happen. We're going to go to heaven. That'll be a beautiful thing. But while we're here on the earth, I'm rejoicing in this hope. And there's in this hope, like you're in the Father's house, and there's a banquet table, and you're feeding from that table, and you're in the family, and Jesus is there. The Spirit of Jesus is with us, and we're feeding on the Lamb of God. And there's a hope that we have for the future. And we have a living hope in our hearts. And also, there's Goliath out in the field yelling and shouting with a big voice. He's on CNN and all other cable networks. He's in university classrooms, and he's in the political realm, and he's mocking and shouting and yelling. And I mean, he has a big voice in this world. He's in the movies, and all the world is filled with this kind of a spirit, mocking, shouting down the simple believer like David. So that's part of it. Now go to the next part. It's verse 3. It says, and not only so. So this is a segment. Notice here, this is a block, okay? And he says, and not only that. Do you get it? Like, I gave you all this good stuff, but not only that. Like, that's awesome. But there's more, and this is where we want to go and what we want to say tonight. And it's pretty cool. It's really cool. Look at verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, I know what you're thinking, because glory in tribulations. Because these are memory verses, and we all know that we should glory in our troubles. But this is better than the way you normally read it. There's a meaning here that it isn't, I glory in spite of my tribulations. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that I'm in the tribulation, and I'm glorying in the tribulation in some weird way. Like I'm a masochist. I like pain. I like pain, so I glory in the trouble. It doesn't mean we're normal human beings. I don't want to have trouble. I don't want to have trouble. So how can I glory in it? Like, it's not in spite of it, but actually the meaning is because God and you and I are in His family, and we have this identity, then when Goliath comes out yelling and shouting and mocking us, you are led in, and you see the contest. And you actually glory in what it is that God has put you in the tribulation. You have found Christ in it. You have found the growth. You have found the change. You found the maturity. You know, another way of saying it, there are people, I grew up this way like everybody did probably. It's just natural. Your mom and dad go to bed at night praying, God, please keep us from any big problems. Lord, please keep me from, and please protect us. And I say those prayers too. Don't misunderstand me. And we try to escape that. Wow, we dodged a bullet. Oh my, man, that was a close call. And just hoping, we're in the emergency room. We're in the hospital emergency room. We got hit. Okay. Oh, no, what happened? Who messed up? Why did this bad thing happen to us? What happened? Who sinned? Or how did this happen? Or, you know. That's how the natural man lives. But I'm changing. And I'm growing in it, and I think I'm seeing it. And I hope you could follow it with me. I honestly believe that the believer that has this kind of equipment, this one, that he understands his access. He understands the peace that he has in God. That he understands he stands in the grace, that he rejoices in the hope, that he actually, in this life, I don't want to say that he welcomes it, but in a way, it's a good signal to him. Like when I have the trouble, it's an evidence of Hebrews 12 that I am a child of God. It's an evidence that the fiery trial of 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, don't be alarmed when that fiery trial happens. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation and trials. Okay, wait a minute. Because I think you're shifting back to like the Bible verses you know. But you got to follow this with me. When you and I get rooted and grounded in being students of God and human nature, when we realize what we are in and what we are part of, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, verse 9, he understood that he delighted in his weakness because then he found this great wealth that he had when he lived by faith. He would say, man is born unto trouble. Job 5, 7, you enter the kingdom of God by tribulation, meaning in practice you grow up and mature. In Acts 14, verse 22, you start to actually get a feeling of, I can do this. You actually start to think, maybe this is good for me. Maybe it's good for me that I have some trouble. Maybe it's a check. It's a check for me, because we all become arrogant. We all kind of get careless. We all kind of drift into independence. And when I realize, wait a minute, maybe God is going to show me something by my tribulation. Woe unto you when men speak well of you, for so did they, the false prophets. Matthew chapter 5, 10 to 12. Rejoice when you're persecuted. Persecution. There are Christians, they don't want any persecution. They don't want anybody saying bad things about them. We have a good testimony. Behave. Do the right thing. We want the world to see God. Hey, wait a minute. If we want the world to see God, then we're going to, it seems to me that he's going to manifest himself by our maturity. And maturity is produced by tribulation. Look at the verse with me, please. Chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Word we don't really want to use so much. one person going through a trial, they said, I need this fixed. I said, let's pray about it for 5 years. 5 years. I'm thinking 5 hours. 5 years. Yeah, did that 5 years throw you off? That's called patience. Patience. When we had our church split here years ago, we were in Chicago with our brothers, and they were saying things, and we were trying to work on trying to keep together. And I said, give us time in Baltimore. Give us some time. I don't remember if I said 1 year. Give us time. No, now, this has got to be dealt with. It was like, wow. 1 year? We could be together. We could have the same spirit. Do you have patience? Yeah, can you wait? How about raising teenagers? I said to my wife one time while we were raising our children, I go, you know, they're 16 years old now, and what's the end game? The end game is that when they're 22 or 25 years old, they want to sit down at the table with us and eat and be together. They want to be with us. That's the end game. I don't want to lose them. We might lose them now, but I don't want to lose them ultimately. We have to pray for them. We have to love them. We have to work with them. We have to exhort them, encourage them, guide them. But I don't want to lose my relationship with them. And they make their decisions, and sometimes their decisions are not very good. But look at God in us. We're students of God and human nature. How do you put up with us? How come you're so patient? Why are you waiting so long? How much do you pray for me, Jesus, as the intercessor in heaven? How much do you care for me? How much of your blood did you spill that I would be a righteous man in your eyes? How about it? Tribulation, trouble, works, patience. Verse 4, patience. Experience. Experience means, the word means that there's proof of the trial in your life. That the trial actually proved who you are. Did you run away? Did you get afraid? Did you hide somewhere? I mean, in the sense of David running from Goliath and with the army and being afraid he could not stand. Yes, that's my nature. We are cowards by nature. But we have another spirit. Caleb had another spirit. We feed that spirit. We walk in that spirit. We are filled with that spirit. We believe in what the Spirit is saying. We are not quenching the spirit, not grieving the spirit, but we are filled and drinking the same spirit. So, patience, experience. After David has killed Goliath, you're going to interview him. How are you doing? He goes, you know, it's pretty amazing. I'm very excited. What are you excited about? I'm excited about God. What do you mean? Yeah, I know God did it. You mean God? Oh, I mean God. God did it. My whole life is about, God is here. God did it. God did it. Oh, David, you are a hero. It's like, don't confuse it. I happened to be there, and I stood. And I did what God, who I am in God, because God is my teacher. But as I went out in my walk of faith, I gained experience. And in my experience, raising my kids, keeping my marriage together, praying for my church, being a servant in Baltimore City, watching the news and realizing, wow, there's something. What did Shakespeare say? It's something rotten in Denmark. Like, what's that cheese? That really strong cheese. What's the name of the cheese? Yeah, Limburger cheese. My dad brought it home one day, and the whole house smelled Limburger cheese, and he's laughing about it, and we're like, oh, it's something is rotten in Denmark. Have you watched it? Have you seen it? Do you see the battle lines? Do you see the enemy? Do you realize that we are called to be in it and to experience God in our battle? Now, just to say thoughtfully, there's a battle with our sexual life. There's a battle. My Heavenly Father's got to give me the equipment I need. He has to give me what I need to deal with my battle. There's a battle with our lust for money. Some people chase the money. They chase the money. They go after the money. But you could be in the battle with God. I know I will. I got to do this. I'm chasing something over here. I got to get this done. Yeah, but God is testing your heart. God is testing your heart. And he wants to test our hearts. Have you ever thought about it? Money isn't really anything. What is it? You know what I mean? It's like, it is valuable. When you don't have it, it's so important. It's so important. I know that. It's a great tool. But actually, life has got to be more than that. It's got to be experience. And tribulation works. Patience, experience. And then it goes to the next word. And then it says, experience hope. It started with hope. Now it ends with hope. Actually, it goes to love. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You know, when people go through trials with God, they gain treasure. When they go through trials with God, they're gaining points, treasure. They're gaining character. There's something growing in them. They are maturing. When they grow with God, that's why I like it. We are not petty and bickering with each other about the little things that I want. I want this in my church. I want this. Well, then you got to go to another church. Maybe God's got to deal with you. We're not perfect, but we can't be controlled by 1,000 different people with 1,000 different. I like Mexican food. Why doesn't the cafe have Mexican food? I like opera music. When are we going to sing opera in the church? I want opera, okay? Opera. I want to... What's the end? Many voices. Then we got to get serious with God. Eat it. There's no opera. Eat it. Humble yourself before God. Go through some trials. Go through some tribulation. Mature. We need Christ formed in us. And the trials of life are an important part of our maturity, because we cannot be babies as Christians. Because sister and brother, this world is exploding. Have you noticed? How far away are we from serious trouble? Hey, could they shut down a church in one day? Could the government shut down a church in one day? Could they just say, it's over, done, you're fine, we arrest the pastor. If you even try, you're in jail with a $5,000 or $10,000 fine. It's over, done. How about it? What do you think? It's happened in other countries. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen here, but I am suggesting that it could happen here. Did I just say both things? I think I did. How do you know what your future holds? How do you know what you're going to go through? How do you know what your trials will be? How do you know how your marriage will turn out? How do you know how your kids will be born? How do you know what's going to happen in the education of your children? How do you know what bad decisions or good decisions people will make? How do you know you will keep your job? How do you know that the government will be stable? How do you know what will be happening in our future? I don't know. But it says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, because you don't know what a day will bring forth. But I do know this, that if these things that we're talking about are true, if we got this, and we get our roots in there, and you're going to end up standing up. And maybe our country needs people to stand for righteousness. They do. Maybe our neighbor needs for us to disagree with them and say, you know what, I've been a neighbor of yours for 15 years, and you know how much I love you. And we share Christmas presents, and I bring you cookies at Halloween and the whole thing. And I'm a good neighbor, and I even mow your lawn once in a while. But I just want you to know, I totally disagree with that thing. I don't agree with that. I love you, please. And I just got to say, I hope you don't say that to your neighbor. Second thought. You know what I'm trying to say. On a university campus, there's got to be Christians that got some salt and light. In the political world, there's got to be believers with some roots that are in Christ and are up for the tribulations of life. In a church, there's got to be pastors and leaders and body members that are saying, listen, we're not looking for a fight, but if you knock on our door, you're going to get one. If you knock on it the wrong way. If you're saying you're shutting us down, it can't happen. We're going to assemble in the prison. We're going to be believers. We're going to be learning and growing and maturing. And by the way, when it happened to Joseph in Egypt, he became a prime minister and a king. And the same thing happens in this world. Those are the people that have the character that people need for their kids and their families and to keep it going. And all this other... what's the word? Help me out. You know that I'm getting a habit of swearing in the pulpit. You know, all this other malarkey. Wow, that's a good, thank you, Pastor Barry. Okay. All this other malarkey that is going on in the world that we're living in needs to be said, hey, come on, let's get real. A little girl is not a little boy. You got that? Don't play games with me. I'm a real person, okay? I'm a real guy. I don't talk like that. That's not going to happen. That's not real. That's a lie. That's demonic. I'm not for that. I'm against that. And many other things in a crazy world. And believers that are backing down and don't have any conviction and don't have a message, then they need to do what we're saying tonight. Rejoice in the tribulation and get in a little bit of good trouble, because God is with you in it. And stand up and believe and be who you are in Christ. The problem, listen, let me finish up. The problem, Pastor Mati said this years ago in a convention. He said, the American people don't have a mission. The American people don't have a mission. And that stuck in me. What do you mean? We don't have a mission. And we talked a little bit. I don't remember what he said, but this is what I'm saying tonight. I have a mission to go to Walmart and buy new patio furniture. I got a mission to buy a house. I got a mission to have a family. I have a mission to be happy. I have a mission to be entertained. I have a mission to stay healthy. I have a mission. I want to be in good condition or eat my vitamins. I have a mission. It's all about, I'm going to eat olives at night. I have a mission. I eat sauerkraut at night. I am on a mission. I want to be healthy. I ride my bicycle. I'm on a mission.
I want to have good friends. I want to be in a bar room drinking beer and having a good time. That's my mission. You know it isn't. You know you hurt inside. I don't have a mission. That's anything more than a spitball. See, I said that word because I didn't want to swear. Hey, let's wrap up the message. Let's finish it up. We have a mission, and it's for our kids. It's for our generation. It's for our neighborhood. We have a mission for the world. We have a mission. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with patio furniture or a house or a family. You know that. I'm not saying that, but it's like, well, I got to get through life without any troubles. I don't want any troubles. You know, I'm one of those. On the other hand, what we're saying tonight, this is graduation time, when you can say, I glory in the trouble. I mean, I don't like it. I'm not looking for pain. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm not rejoicing in spite of it. I'm actually engaged in understanding that God sent this to me. I'm walking with God in it, and I'm finding God's grace. I'm finding His peace, and I just believe there's something good in it. That's all. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Jesus, thank you. Got a new brother over here, Adam. Adam, you want to just raise your hand just for a minute? Thank you. New brother, parking lot brother. I'm calling these new folks. They're from the parking lot, you know. Parking lot brother. Yeah, good. Right. And then over here, brother, this one with the red shirt on. Oh, I forgot your name. Otis. New brother. Second time. Great time. Beautiful. Thank you. York is here. York, Pennsylvania. John over here. The gang over here. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, the gang. Yeah, praise the Lord. This holy gang, the gang. It's a beautiful group. Father, thank you for these thoughts tonight and the oneness in the spirit we have. It's a tough world that you've sent us into, but there's grace for everything. It's tough and crazy life sometimes, but we want to learn and grow and get our roots established, mature in it. Help us. Lead us. We got the message tonight, and please bear witness to it in every life here. Walk by faith in God. You will know God. Anyone not a believer yet, come to Jesus tonight. Please come to Jesus by faith. Say yes to Jesus, please. Yes to Jesus. Just say to Jesus, yes, I believe. On the internet, anyone at all, just say yes to Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.